Triple M rocks the NRL 24/7 through the Triple M app. Thanks to Ream. Steady, hot and strong. Install a Ream.
Names.
You will never see a team like this again.
The biggest games.
This game.
What a game.
Magnificent. Unbelievable.
Game on. Getting a head start on the weekend.
Rugby league. That's what we love.
For McDonald's and Ream Hot Water. Triple M rocks Thursday night footy.
Round five, barely finished. It's only 3 days since that round was put in the books, and here we are, round six of the NRL Telstra Premiership. It's just now we're into the rhythm. Now we're into the routine. And tonight, it's Central Coast Stadium, the venue. It's the Newcastle Knights against the Brisbane Broncos. The Broncos, again, we get to see them on a Thursday night. They're looking to go a little bit better than they did last week when they almost got the money against Manly, let an 18-0 lead slip. But the Knights, coming off a bit of a heavy defeat against the Melbourne Storm, albeit they're in it with a few minutes to go, but Melbourne always seemed to have them covered. Good game, Newcastle and the Broncos. Mark Guy, Wendell Saylor, hello to you.
Good evening, guys, mate. Great to be here, and I like it because it's been a bit of a short week. Obviously, the Monday, the rescheduling of that game, and at the Bank West, that was enjoyable. If you're watching the Roosters, mate, they are certainly the team to beat this year. You know, I've been saying Parramatta most of the year, and also Canberra thereabouts, but you know, the Roosters have got a plan A, B, and then even a plan C. You know, so they've got a wealth of talent there, and they played some pretty good football the other night.
Yeah, I think Newcastle, I think their coach, O'Brien, would be concerned by that late try by Brandon Smith. When you want to be contenders, you don't score them types of tries. We've seen a couple of Tigers in recent times be put on the sideline from Madge Maguire for defensive lapses, and teams that are the main legit teams win comps don't let easy tries in. Their defensive line is granite, and I think that's the Storm, Roosters and the Raiders at the moment.
Mm. Did you enjoy Monday night? The idea of going back to a Monday night game, or is it a little bit too much?
I love it. Yeah. Obviously, we love it. I love Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday.
Yeah, I agree.
I could have the 2-day turnaround is perfect for us. So what, Tuesday, Wednesday?
Yeah.
And back, yeah, I love it. It's, and I think because it's uncertain, the times we're in, I don't see why we can't posture it to make it a Monday night.
It's a funny one, MG, because...
Yes, I agree, because
Well, Fox wanted it, but then I don't know how hard. I don't know. I'm guessing. I think they sort of mentioned they'd like to do it, but it was just too hard. There was a suggestion that Nine didn't want Fox to have it because you're diluting everything. If you've got footy on for 5 days a week, it cheapens, say, tonight.
But then they said,
no, we did nothing of the sort. So I don't know what the truth
was. Well, tell me this. Could there be an opportunity for another network altogether to do Monday Night Footy? Like a Channel 10 or a 7.
In the next TV deal?
Yeah, not in this current one. Okay.
I don't think so.
Okay.
Because then you'd have to get Fox to agree and you'd have to get Nine to agree, and they're not going to do that. But the next TV deal, you never know.
You never know.
Especially, there's only going to be one extra team in the next TV deal, the new Brisbane team. That's the way it seems.
Yeah.
So that's still 8 games a week. But I liked it. Even though it was a flogging, it was like a little bonus game on a Monday.
And the week before we had the Queen's birthday game as well. So it was 2 weeks in a row we had Mondays.
Yeah.
Hey, MG, just going back to what you said about with Newcastle and that too, and Melbourne, one thing for me too, I know that try was soft at the end there by Brandon Smith, but even Newcastle early, like Cameron Smith, every time...
He played him off the break.
Yeah, every time that we just keep saying, oh, Hodgson and this, or not us, but in general, everyone's going, oh, Smith might be at the end of it now. He just comes out, you know, the old Wally.
Oh, man.
He just does what he does. He shifted him around. And Melbourne, everyone's going, oh, the new wrestle and that won't suit Melbourne. Melbourne, mate, they know to change it up.
And again, he found himself in the media, so there was footage uncovered that he was pointing at the referee and demanding penalties.
Who doesn't do that?
Isn't that genius?
I've seen Mitchell Moses do that. I've seen Cameron Munster do that.
But isn't that the referee's fault? If you're going to listen...
In short, yes.
Don't listen to him.
No, that's right. But he's got such a presence in the
game. Yes, he has. Remember when Bill Harrigan, he said this is what he would do if, you know, Cameron Smith was doing what he's doing to referees.
Wouldn't you love it one day if a ref just looked at him, or anyone, but it'll just go Cam, because that's and just goes, Cam, off.
Yeah, I know.
And it was heard on the... Like, that ref would be a hero.
Oh, he,
that would be well done.
Interesting tonight, both teams fielding... the Broncos and Knights is fielding hookers who just newly arrived at the clubs. Isaac, Luke and McCulloch.
Yeah. So Luke straight in the starting team.
Yeah.
And so Corey Pay back to the bench, and they have... Tessie New has been left out, and there's a slight change at the Knights. Inari Tuala is out and Gemet Shibasaki comes in. He'll be a starting centre, and a tweak with Tim Glasby, who's in great form.
Yeah,
he's starting, and Herman Esse, and he's having a good year as well, former Bronco coming off the bench. So they are
the call him the exam.
Esse. I don't mind that.
And big for the Knights too, Lachlan Fitzgibbon is back.
Yeah,
he's back.
Very, very talented young back role.
Yep.
So the Knights, you know, if they win this tonight, the Knights, it'd be their best start after six rounds since 2002.
Well, and they won the premiership in 2001.
Yeah, so four wins. Well, they're on 3-1-1, so 3.5 wins essentially. And if they were to win, yeah, they'd be on 9 points after six rounds, and they haven't been that high on the ladder since 2002.
And they've got Tyson Frizzell going there next year.
Yes.
Yeah.
They're building something, aren't they?
They are. They are. And that's what I look at. I wasn't surprised that Tyson went there, but just the way that he did it, and he said, look, I want to go somewhere to win a premiership. And I'm thinking, well, Knights aren't really any closer than the Dragons are. I suppose, yeah, they are a bit closer with what they're getting at the club. But that was a big call.
We need an opener for this weekly segment on a Thursday, which is who's leaving the Dragons now? James Graham wants to leave.
Yeah.
And but the Dragons are playing tough and saying, well, we'll let him go, but as soon as we find a replacement for him.
I think a lot, Dan, has got to do with Monday's announcement with the Jack DeBellin case. If that is dismissed in some way, shape or form.
Oh, I see.
I think they'll say to James Graham, or, you know, yes, you can go because DeBellin's back.
Yeah.
But if it's adjourned to the end of the year, we mightn't see DeBellin in a Dragons jersey ever again.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of tangibles. If James Graham wants to go and he wants to go without any pay, I think he's the service to the game dictates that he can do what he wants. He's given enough blood, sweat, and tears over the years, especially over in England and then here over 450 games, to basically say, I've had enough. I'm tapping out. I'm going back to England to enjoy the last couple of years of my life.
I think it's a two-way street. I think he's done a lot for the game here. We've done a lot for him as well. He's been great in and around the players and media. My son just loves him. He just reckons he's been great at the Dragons. But I reckon you can see now the game's caught up with you. And I know that feeling when you're in your last sort of year, NRL. Well, but
he's played 500 games.
No, I know. I'm saying Capra's 17. No, all right.
It's amazing he's lasted this long.
But you can go to Super League because in those conditions and what he does, no disrespect to Super League, you can get away with it, but here week in, week out. So I reckon the Dragons have got to probably look to let him go, I understand.
Yeah.
But there's a couple of good young players here that don't get enough game time, Jackson Ford and those sort of guys.
But sometimes, Del, too, you don't walk away, you've got to be pushed.
Yes.
And I think what Blocker said about James Graham, Blocker's a very well-respected front rower in our game, when he said that he watches James Graham and he looks like his legs are gone.
Yes. Yeah,
I think something might have resonated with James Graham because I know myself when in my last year, I was ready for a preseason. I was ready to go around again.
Yeah.
Got a call 2 days before preseason started from my then coach, Roy Simmons, who was my ex-teammate. I went into his office. I said, Simo, what's going on, buddy? You know, he goes, you want to talk about preseason or something? He goes, I just want to show you something, big fella. Yeah. And he had two screens like we're watching here at the Triple M Studios, one there and one there. And one was on the left of me in my prime. The one on the right was me in my last year in 2000. And he just pressed play on both TVs, and I went, why is this one, why have you got that on slow motion?
Yeah.
And I said, that's you. I went, oh.
Yeah.
He said, mate, please don't have another year.
Now, let me ask you
this. I don't want you to be.
I understand that.
You went to, I shouldn't say wars because this is just sport, but you went to battle with Roy Simmons.
Yep.
So.
He's looking after me.
Was he one of the few people that you would have listened to in that scenario?
Oh,
so he happened to be your coach, but if it was some outsider that was coaching Penrith,
no one else said it.
You're gone.
No one else said it.
Yeah.
No, I was ready. I was 2 days before pre-season. I was ready to run around again, and he saved me from myself.
Yeah, Wayne Bennett did the same to me. Like I had another year to go at the Dragons, and there was Brett Morris, Nightingale, Darius Boyd, and I had a pretty fair season, but that finals sort of took it out of me. We lost in the straight sets. And then he said to me, he goes, what are you thinking? I said, I was still pretty pumped. I'm pretty sure I'll go around again. He goes, I don't think you will be. He goes, you'll be playing reserve grade next year,
wow.
But it's better to go a year early than a year too late.
Oh, yeah.
And then when I got through the final series and I realised that I got lucky enough to play the All-Stars, I sort of knew what he was talking about because even the All-Stars, I think I scored that try there was Jarrell Yowie. And as soon as it was like, I was like touch game, I was going, yep, you're on. And I think I marked up one of the Morris boys or something, Manu Vadavine, one of the Morris boys. But I sort of knew,
yeah.
You sort of know yourself, but you need someone who you respect to tell you.
And James Graham, look at me.
He's a warrior, isn't he?
What do they do, the Dragons, if do they want to replace him straight away? Is that the intel you're getting?
I don't know. I don't have anything to do with the Dragons other than
I saw
my son today and I just said, oh, what about James Graham? He's getting released. He goes, oh, I don't think it's final. That's all he said to me.
Because there is a way to manipulate the cap. Let's say they let him go, right? And how much would he be on? It's a funny one because he's near the end, but he'd still be...
I reckon 300 or 400.
I'd be saying close to half.
Between
350 and 5.
Well, when they signed him, I thought 2 years was good. He'd have one good year in him and then he'd have a good year that he could mentor, but then they signed him for 3 years and at that time I went, I don't know if you can get 3 years.
So they've accounted for that money in this year's salary cap, obviously, so they can say, James, off you go with our best wishes, right? And there'd still be, well,
maybe 250 left?
Let's say 250 because the year's been pushed back.
Yep.
And then you front load, so you come to who's a key player, it doesn't matter who, and you say, right, well, we're changing your contract. You're going to get the same amount of money, but we're going to give you 250 extra this year. Go and invest it. Go and do what, you know, and therefore it opens up. You can spend that in years to come.
Yeah. I like that.
So,
But
it seems like the Dragons...
I think they need another player in there. They need something. They need a sort of a strike.
But they're not giving up on this year.
No, they're not. But
that's what they're saying by making that statement.
Yeah.
Hey, we wish James all the best, but we want someone to replace him before we cut him loose.
But what's even more fascinating is, it's another scenario we'll go to, is even the selection panel. Like, Paul McGregor doesn't have the final say. Apparently it's up to like four of them in the panel to have their say at the Dragons.
That's the thing. We don't know who does. Is it McGregor? There's Flanagan. It's Ian Millwood, isn't it? Is he on the panel?
No. I don't think so. No, I think it's Benny Harran.
Okay.
And then I think also Dean Young.
Because you're never going to have 17 agreed, well, maybe this week because they're coming off a win. Well, what happens when it's a split vote?
Well, that's right. When you haven't got total autonomy as a coach, that's time.
It's over.
That is. And one player they are looking at that Brent Reed told us tonight was Billy Magoulas.
Oh, yes.
From the Sharks.
Yeah. What's happened to him?
Yeah. Oh, he was
supposed to be the Gallen replacement.
Where is he? Why isn't he playing for the Sharks?
I reckon there's more concern the Sharks at the moment. I know that we've been talking Dragons for the last couple of weeks, but what I saw from the Sharks on Sunday.
Well, then isn't it funny how as soon as you lose a game, and like the Sharkies did in the weekend against the Dragons, then all of a sudden here in the press conference, Eddie Jones wants to coach. And what the hell's going on here? And then all of a sudden, this bloke's not happy.
Yeah.
All walls break down when you keep losing games.
Did you? You had Alan Jones, didn't you?
Yeah.
You had a year at Balmain.
Did you?
I did. Yeah.
And I know you have a good relationship with him off field. Did you respect him as a coach?
Oh, I just respected the man fully.
I understand that part. But did he know rugby league?
Not as much as he knew Union. No.
Right.
His motivational speeches were titanic. Yeah. Like, you get up for, we should have played Tuesday nights because it's a training. Yeah. He'd deliver something at training on Tuesday. I'd go, oh, what about this bloke? I want to play now. We haven't played on Sunday in the gong or something. But no, he was great. He was like, he changed. Like, I was heading in a bit of a different spectrum until Jonesy came along and kind of, he was the only person who wanted to take a bet on me, and thank God he did.
So could Eddie Jones work as a concept?
I can't. Not at 60.
I don't think...
Is he that old?
I don't think he can be like a coaching director.
Coordinator.
Coordinator. I think so. Guys like him and Clive Woodward, they could do that in another code, but I don't think he could be a good head coach or at this point in time anyway.
But he always liked league.
He loved his league.
Yeah.
So when we're on the bus, if it was me, Matt Rogers, Lottie, he'd be going, oh, mate, what about the Roosters last night? Or the 2003 Grand Final? Whenever there was a big rugby league game on, we'd have a room at Coffs Harbour or wherever.
He'd be on it.
And all the Wallaby boys would be into it. But Eddie would go, oh, mate, mate, what about Minicello? Mate, he's so strong through the hips and that. And, like, you know, the way, yeah, so.
Okay, so maybe he might be a good, I said the same team, like the Sharkies.
Well, see, like, Michael.
Checker.
Yeah, Michael Checker. So, like, you know, what he's done too, that role, that assistant role, that's perfect for Eddie, I reckon. But he, I don't think his ego would like that. He likes to be the big dog.
I always thought he wanted to come back and coach the Wallabies, but that's not going to happen anytime soon.
What about this one that we keep hearing that Wayne Bennett is heading to the Dragons?
Yeah, for me, it's a funny one. I said to someone last week when I was playing golf, funny that I was playing golf, and someone said, oh, what's happened to coaching? I said, look, I don't know. And they said, oh, Wayne keeps getting bandied around. Everyone thinks Wayne left on bad terms. He didn't really leave on bad terms, but, like, when he left, some players followed him, like Bo Scott, that wanted to go with him. But if he goes back there, it gives the members
big
hope.
Big cred.
Yeah, but then also what happens is player managers, obviously, you know, a player manager, they'll call and say, Wayne, you know, whether they're on the fringe or second chances or upgrading, Wayne knows how to build a squad.
And he's a massive lure. Someone like David Fifita would think you'd imagine.
He's still unsigned, you know.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Imagine he would think about going to the Dragons if you knew Wayne Bennett was coach.
That's unbelievable that the Broncos got him out of a jail in Bali.
Yeah.
I've heard some stories behind the scenes what they had to do to get him. Yeah.
Well, can you tell me off air, please?
No, actually. What can I say on it? No, it's nothing illegal.
Yeah, no.
But they just work the system to their advantage. Actually, though, yeah, the sort of thing you would love your employer to do. They got him moved from one holding cell, which wasn't good for him, to another, which was more friendly, and then they knew sort of who to speak to. And I mean, you know, having to pay $30,000.
Yeah, of course, mate. That's
because I reckon the bloke who he brushed. Type David Fifita and realise, hang on, this bloke's a $1 million rugby league player. Yeah. We can take this bloke to the cleaners. But what was the point I was making? Oh, but anyway, Fifita is still unsigned. There's a few really good players actually still unsigned in rugby league.
Yeah, well Vunivalu too. He's supposed to go to the Reds or something, but
he's had a second thought.
Oh, has he?
Well, Dave Rennie, the Wallabies coach, apparently called him and said, no problem, not at all. Well, They owe him 1.8 for the next 2 years.
Yeah. 2 years or three?
I think it's two.
Has to be three. You'd be on 600 a year, you'd think.
Oh,
600, yeah. I reckon it's 600. You couldn't pay him any.
Oh, no, I think it's.
Yeah, it's for two.
Yeah.
No.
Like 900 a year.
No, you couldn't. I mean
that's Wendell Saylor number early 2000s.
No, I'm happy for him. Good luck to him. But, yeah, because there's Jordan Rapanar too. He's off contract.
But I don't know how they can be so committed to paying that when they don't know what the Super Rugby comp is next year.
That's what I'm saying.
Well, what is it? They haven't got a television deal yet.
Dave Rennie's not taking a pay cut because I think that when they spoke, they just said, like, his contract is going to stay the same.
Two years, Del. Two years, 1.8 for 2 years.
Wow. 900. Why would you want to stay in league? Because he's probably getting half of that. If that.
I wonder.
He might be 400.
And how many times will he get tackled? How many tackles will he have to make, Wendell?
Probably two.
All right, we've got to take a break here on Triple M Footy. We're about, half an hour away from the Knights and the Broncos as Triple M rocks the footy for Ream Hot Water and for Maccas.
Thanks to Ream Hot Water. Triple M rocks footy.
Ah, yes, indeed. This is the first game of round six as Triple M rocks the footy for Ream Hot Water and for Maccas. Don't forget there. I've got a Mac Cafe here. That's
best coffee.
It was a little bit of a walk up to the Maccas near here, but well worth it. And you can buy any Mac Cafe coffee, and it could win you free coffee for a year. Visit mcdonalds.com.au/coffee comp. And T's and C's apply. It ends July 23. So you got about a month. mcdonalds.com.au/coffee comp. Steady, hot and strong. Install the Ream as well. MG and Wendell Saylor along with Dan Ganane. Knights and the Broncos coming up shortly. Isaac Luke starts for the Broncos. And Ari Tuala out for the Newcastle Knights. Gamat Shibasaki comes in jersey number 18. Is a big night for the Broncos, Del. They showed something last week, but I suppose they're going to have to do that again.
Yeah, look, they've got a few players back at the moment. So Alex Glenn, obviously, their captain, he comes back. Tevita Pangai Jr., he's the big one that's back in. And for me, I just think, that first half was really good from them. But obviously, a few of those young blokes have patted themselves on the back and thought, how good's this? But you've got to keep that intensity up for 80 minutes. Manly are always going to come back. So they're going to learn from that. And even the penalty at the end with Carrigan, look, I think he was unlucky, but it's the way it goes. I know Seibold wasn't happy about it. And tonight, I think they're going to be in for a tough first half because I think the Knights will come out of the blocks after what happened to them last week.
Yeah, you're right about that contentious ruling because when you're on, you get them ones. When you're up on confidence and someone like the Roosters, that would have gone in their favour, but it didn't. And they'll left to rue it. Interesting story about Herbie Farmworth. the Englishman from who's playing in the centres for Brisbane. Apparently, the Melbourne Storm are chasing him on the say-so of Cameron Smith's dad, who's been watching him in the Brisbane comp.
Right.
So the Melbourne Storm after Herbie. So let's watch him tonight with a bit more interest. But
well, they've got so many outside backs. It's going to be hard for them to keep them all, especially if they're committed to someone like Xavier Coates. So there you go.
Well, I think after watching him last week, Del, Xavier Coates. In the air. I haven't seen many better this year.
But I think also he's quite strong the way he carries the ball, but they got to stop just kicking to him.
Yep.
Or if they do kick to him, kick on the centre so he can cut that line in there, and they've got to change up. You just can't keep kicking. They just keep going, and it's just – and then after a while, Manly just got players around and then got the scraps. So you just got to change it up. But he's very talented, and he's a real tall, strong-looking sort of athlete.
Well, they've got two wingers now who are 6'5".
Oates is back.
I wonder if they've both got a boat.
Yeah, but, actually, no, you know what? Like Corey Oates has. So you know his father-in-law, don't you? Dean Moles.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
He was just telling a joke, Wendell.
Yeah, I know.
Didn't have to take it literally.
No, but he has got a boat.
Yeah, and Dean Moles, his father-in-law.
Yeah.
Oh, don't take his side.
A lot
of criticism for the Broncos. Why would you let McCulloch go only to bring in Isaac Luke? Is that justified?
Well, I reckon it's got to be salary cap.
It's got to be salary.
Yeah, 100%. Because you know that Macca, 260 games, he's going to do a job for you. But also, I think Macca, I think he requested it too because he was frustrated because he wanted to be the starting hooker.
Yeah.
And, it, you know, we didn't know what was going to happen with their first starting hooker, young
Turpin,
yeah. And then he's out for 4 to 6 weeks, isn't he?
Yes.
That's just unlucky. But yeah.
So Seibold was quoted saying, I regret it. But in context, what he was saying was, well, if I knew Turpin was going to be injured, I wouldn't let him go. Well,
and they've been grooming young Pay for the hooking role as well, who was the next half 5'8".
I thought he was a half 5'8". That's what I'm saying. But, you know, who I thought Seibold might throw in there is young Dearden. Because Dearden is, creative, but also he's a tough defender. We saw when he came in for those couple of games last year against the Roosters, put a couple of good hits on Trell Mitchell.
And look, you know, they would have got Luke bargain basement, I would think, low hundreds.
Yeah.
Probably Ben Teo probably wouldn't have cost that much. No. McCulloch would have been probably, his salary probably would cover both of those players combined.
I'd say so.
So that's probably what it is. It's just a money thing.
It's all about money, brother.
Yep.
No matter what you're in.
So back for them, Glenn and Pangai Jr. Will that make a significant difference for the Broncos tonight?
Oh yeah, I think so. I think they would have won that game last week against Manly if Alex Glenn plays. Just the calming influence he would have had over the young Bronco forwards. Tevita Pangai Jr. We all know how good he is. And I think everyone's sick of saying how good he is. And then every time we're about to watch him on a roll, he will get suspended.
Yeah, for 5 weeks.
And it's systematic. It's happening too often to him for it to be an accident. He's got to get that out of his game to go next level because we know he can.
Let me ask you this. If you were Anthony Seibold, I know he sort of said that he wants him to play the same style of football that he plays, but I think he's got to be smarter. Remember when Jad Rea-Hargraves was young?
Yeah,
he was
exactly
similar. I said to someone, I said, he needs to get on the phone. I know all the boys, they all get along and just sort of talk to him how he changed his game up. Now, he plays with controlled aggression. I know he still gets suspended,
yep.
Jared, but it's not like for just silly things. I think Justin O'Neill was the Cowboys player that he just dropped on for, mate, and that's it's cost him 4 weeks
because
he's a serial offender.
Yeah. I'd actually have him in the front row just to try and eliminate that. Like, what happens, Del, being on left or right ruck.
Yeah.
I think he gets too much time to think about things.
Okay.
But he put him
and
in the
wants
front
to make the big statement.
Yeah, it's either the big offload or or the big hit or the shoulder charge or.
Yeah.
But if you had him in the front row on a rotation with, you know, the Payne, Haas and Lodge, and maybe he just gets forced to run the ball and quick play the ball and just keep running it, and then after he runs it 4 or 5 times, that's when he'll find that left arm or right arm will come loose for an offload. Not every time he gets it.
Geez, it can't be a bad team when you got Offahen Gowrie on the bench. That's a decent forward pack.
Yeah,
and Flegler, the first two games before the lockdown, was former forwards of the comp.
Yeah, but I think the last couple of games he came out of the field, and that's the problem with those young forwards.
Big time.
They can have the big games, but they've got to find the in-between. It's top and it's bottom. It's no in-between, and that's what Seibold's trying to get them to do.
Game of the week is Saturday night, 7:30, Roosters and Eels. You blokes had a very good look at the Roosters at Bankwest on Monday. Do you give Parramatta a red-hot chance? Roosters are now premiership favourites. They're big favourites for this game. They're in exceptional form. Can you see Parramatta going with them?
If Parramatta started the way they did against Penrith, I don't give them a chance because you won't come back like they did in the second half against Penrith. Penrith gave them a couple of chances and they just went like, you know, bang, 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 Parramatta. But the Roosters don't allow you those chances. Even in the second half, they got a little bit bored with what they were doing. They just kept going wide, wide, wide. Roosters won't do it to you, even though it's a five-day turnaround. They're too professional. I know they asked for an extra day or two.
Yep, that's all gamesmanship.
Yeah, that's exactly.
So I think if Parra can beat the Roosters, well, they're in the echelon with them as a team that can win the comp. That's watching them live, but on Monday night, it's they're freaky how every one of them, you know, like the week before against the Broncos, Tedesco didn't play. Last week, Hargraves didn't play.
Yeah.
Yep.
Now they're all together against the Eels. Wow. Saturday night, 7:30. I know where I'll be, right in the lounge with slippers and a beer in my hand, watching probably the game of the year.
You brought up an interesting point. Are you noticing how Robinson is rotating this team?
Oh, yeah.
But he doesn't say it. No, it's always a little nit. Well, yeah. Tedesco was unlucky. That was a fever.
Yep.
But, you know, little.
Takiyahau.
Yeah.
They'll all get a week off here and there.
Cordon at the start of the year.
But he won't announce it. Yeah, you know, other coaches will sort of, like, you know, your mate Siebes will say, oh, you know, rotation, it's a, you know, sort of trying to sound like they're on top of things, but he'll just do it sneakily, Robinson.
Just tweak it.
Just tweak it.
Yeah.
What a game that is. We are tomorrow night doing, what's the 6 o'clock game? South and the Warriors.
The improving Warriors.
Yeah.
Well, I think this siege mentality that they're in camp for so long with each other is actually helping them. I think that, you know, they get the, you know, the type of footy they play. It's Harlem Globetrotters type stuff. They before this year they seemed to want to score off every ball, but now they've been locked down together for so long. I think they're starting to realise that being here, especially on the Central Coast, they're seeing a lot more of what New South Wales teams do. You know, closely.
Yeah, of course.
And they're thinking, okay, well, if we do that, if we hold the ball like they did in that game against the Dragons for 45 sets, we beat anybody. Obviously, then they had a hiccup against Penrith, but last week against the Cowboys, they bounced back. And that would never have happened to the old Warriors. That would never have happened.
Geez, aren't they?
Because you would have went over there and played them, and you would have beaten them by 40.
Aren't the Cowboys a disappointing
team? They are, Dan. They're one of the most. And I
fell in love with them a couple of weeks ago. They thumped, okay, Gold Coast.
Yeah.
You thought, Holmes, drink water, here we go. And then they've been terrible.
They can't get any rhythm with their players. Like Tal Malolo's out, or Valentine Holmes is out. Michael Morgan, mate, he might be gone for
another 6 weeks.
Yeah, that's right. That's the word. But even back to the Warriors, what I like about them too is Cody Nicarima has shown real maturity. We all know what Blake Green can do. He just seems to step up and he's thinking, okay, I'm gonna be the man. I need to be the man. Like, you know, there's always talk about him moving on there. So I just think what they've got there at the moment, they're doing a really good job and they're having a go, but also they're staying in the arm wrestle other than the Panthers game.
This is prime time. We do it for Maccas and for Room Hot Water. MG, do you think your Panthers are ready for Melbourne?
They'll soon find out, Dan, tomorrow night at 7:30. Look, after last weekend's game against the Parramatta Eels when they were up 10-0, I thought, wow, this is a serious rugby league team. But watching them getting the run down in the last 18 minutes, three tries in that period of time, I thought, well, they've got a lot to learn. They've got a lot to learn. If they do beat Melbourne Storm, Campbelltown tomorrow night, well, like the Newcastle Knights, and like Parramatta Eels, and you know, if Knights come out tonight and thump the Broncos by a lot, you're going to go, okay, well,
yep, they will.
And same goes with the Parramatta Eels against the Roosters. If they get close to the Roosters, you're going to go, well, ooh, there's not much in this, but
yeah,
I don't know. I think there's a big gap between the top three teams, and
The three quarter. Being Roosters, Canberra, Melbourne.
Yes.
They're your three?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yep. I hope I'm wrong because I want to see a final series that can go to any one of eight teams.
Yeah.
And I think at the moment it's between seven teams. And I think the rest of the other nine are just basically treading water. I think below Manly, who are coming seventh, there's no one else that can win this comp this year.
All right. By the way, beanies for brain cancer around once again. You talked about that earlier, MG. We're watching pictures of Channel 9. That looks like Mark Hughes' house. What a nice little setup. Wouldn't you love to have a beer in that joint?
What was that, Bain Marie he's got there in his own?
Yeah, Bain Marie with a bar fridge and there was open cartons of 40 lashes, 150 lashes and Great Northern and there was a PlayStation there.
All the players, all the ex-players around there.
Adam Muir and Mark Glanville.
Yeah, how good.
And
do you remember
Chief
Peden? Billy Peden.
Are you a racehorse? Are you a punter?
Yeah.
Remember the horse Empire?
Yes.
I remember where one time it won up in Brisbane, and Chris Lees and Andrew Johns gave me a call. They picked me up in Brisbane to get in the Gold Coast to have a drink in wow. some limo. It was unbelievable. Yeah. But Mark Hughes, all time. But like Chris Lees too, obviously, mad Newcastle man.
You get any tips off Chris?
Yeah, I got a few tips. Probably not that I needed them, but it was a good night, yeah.
Good training.
No, I'm saying, do you get any regularly?
No, I don't know, no.
Oh, you could have yeah. got, you could have had, a, you could have had nah. a lovely supply of tips.
Yeah, but probably not good for me, no.
Get too excited. Enough. All right, let's take a quick break. We'll talk about the Knights after this. Kalen Ponga. I know these boys have got some things to say. Is he worth $4.4 million for 4 years? We'll debate that next. Triple M rocking your Thursday night footy. We do it for Ream Hot Water and for Macca's.
Thanks to Ream Hot Water. Triple M rocks footy.
Yes, indeed. We're about 15 minutes away from the Knights and the Broncos. A big story has just dropped on the Daily Telegraph website. I've deliberately not shown you here, okay. boys, because I won't get your natural reaction. So this is a Dean Ritchie exclusive. Bulldogs prepare mega deal for Craig Bellamy. Struggling Canterbury preparing a shock multi-million-dollar offer to sign Melbourne Storm super coach Craig Bellamy. The Daily Telegraph can exclusively reveal an offer would span two seasons, maybe three, before Bellamy would then help implement a transition plan for a new coach at Belmore. God. It is understood the club has sought extra financial support from up to four existing club sponsors to help sign Bellamy, although club officials deny this move. Those sponsors would be prepared to inject a combined total of around $1 million outside of their current sponsorship arrangements to sign Bellamy, who would earn between $1.2 and $1.4 million a season. Rival clubs are aware of Canterbury's interest in Bellamy, who would start at the Bulldogs next season if a deal can be struck. Canterbury's board meets next week. Sources have told The Telegraph that Canterbury and Bellamy have directly spoken twice.
Wow.
But the club has denied this. Well-placed sources also say senior Bulldogs officials are heavily involved in the push for Bellamy. Let me see. It's a bit.
Yeah, it's
in the Telegraph.
Massive.
You can get it on the website there because there's more detail here. Bellamy remains signed with Melbourne until the end of next season, but the club would not prevent an early release given his sustained achievements at the Storm. Those close to Bellamy, 60, suggest he may be searching for a new challenge, particularly if his loyal lieutenant, Cameron Smith, decides to retire after this season.
Yep.
Wow, there you go.
That's another rugby league. The gift that keeps on giving.
It just keeps giving, doesn't it?
Wow. Yeah. It's like Christmas every day.
Yep.
Okay, so, yeah. I know it's left field, but it's something that could happen, especially if Cameron Smith retired.
Mm. Yes.
That's the big clincher. I know Craig Bellamy is a fantastic coach, but he's done it with a fantastic player for so long. We often underestimate the power that Cameron Smith has in our game, and especially at the Melbourne Storm, how influential he's been. I know that if he retired this year, it would take him a good 3 to 4 years to get over it, to get over his loss. I know Munster's ready to take up the mantle, Dell, as the new marquee player for...
Yeah,
but,
sure.
But as far as... Look, we're talking about a future immortal.
Mm. Yes.
You know, Cameron Smith, in my eyes, is the best player I've ever seen.
Well, look what he did last week.
Unbelievable.
He's the best player I've ever seen. Yep. Wally and Joey.
Lockyer,
Freddie, all on their day were magnificent.
Well, you know how we always debate who's going to... There'll be no debate with Cam Smith. There'll actually be no debate.
Not an ounce of debate.
No.
No.
It'll be, you know, when's he eligible? 2026? Okay, well, 2026 he'll be in. Brent Reed on the sideline for us in Gosford. Reedy, does this story surprise you? Hello to you, by the way.
Hello, guys. Well, it's funny, you know, there was a rumour going around today they were going to chase Brad Arthur, and I checked that with Canterbury and they said it wasn't right. I would say this about the story. It says he'll earn between 1.2 to 1.4 million. He's on 1.5 at Melbourne, so he'd have to take a pay cut to start with, which would be, he's not going to take a pay cut, I wouldn't have thought, knowing Craig Bellamy. Now, if Canterbury don't ask the question, they're being a bit negligent, really, because Craig's the best coach in the game. So I'm sure they'll ask the question, but I'd find it hard to believe that Craig would take a pay cut to move to Sydney to coach Canterbury, given where Canterbury are and where Melbourne are. I mean... Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised they asked the question, no doubt about that. But I'd be stunned if he said yes.
It's interesting. The thing that stood out here in this piece, Rudy, and I haven't read it properly, I was just looking at it in the ad break, that they've spoken twice. You would think a lot of people, a lot of clubs inquire with Bellamy, but why would they speak twice if there was no interest at all from Bellamy?
Well, Craig does have a tendency to... what's the word I'm looking for? To fuel the interest. Because if you remember, he's apparently spoken to the Brisbane Bombers about five or six times, I think, the Brisbane Bombers, Craig. So Craig spoke to the Warriors before his last deal. He spoke to, you know, he was locked in talks with Brisbane last year. I don't think Craig's the sort of guy who dismisses things out of hand. I think he entertains interest. Now, whether that interest is enough to convince him to leave, I'd be really surprised. But... and I don't think he's ever shown any appetite to really go to Sydney. The feeling has always been with Craig that he'd like to move up to Queensland and live on the Gold Coast when he eventually finishes or decides to wind down. That's why I think the second Brisbane teams would be of interest to him. But, I mean, I'd be really surprised. While we were talking, I texted a couple of people and, you know, their reaction was, this stuff gets out there and it gets floated and let's see where it lands. But, you know, I'd be surprised, to be honest. It doesn't surprise me if they've approached him. I must stress that. I'm not saying the story doesn't have legs. No. I'm just saying I'd be surprised if Craig was to do that. And as I said, he's on 1.5 a year now. They're talking about 1.2 to 1.4. Craig Bellamy ain't taking a haircut, I can tell you that much.
But aren't all clubs supposed to be cutting back?
Well, obviously the new football cap's going to come in, but it's going to be a soft cap originally, which means you can go over it.
Right.
Because they've got to give clubs time to get under it. So, you know, he's got a contract for, what, I think he's got one more year to
one
go.
Year, one more year, but you know, the story says that if he wants to go, they'll let him go.
Well, again, I'd find that difficult to believe because the next guy in line is Jason Rolls. Yeah. He's going to England to coach with Eddie Jones at the end of the year with England Rugby Union. He's committed to that. Now, he'd probably get out of that to stay, but, you know, I think the idea was Rolls, he went over there for a couple of years, worked with Eddie Jones, learnt off Eddie Jones, then potentially came back and took over from Craig. So, you know, that would ruin their succession plan.
All right. Well, it's a cracking story.
it's unbelievable.
You got a sense there's something...
There's always something in this stuff. It's just whether it comes to fruition or not. That's
I understand.
It could be Craig Bellamy posturing for always some something in
it. Well, you never know. It might be Bellamy posturing to get more out of the new Brisbane. That's right. Whoever leaks the story, it's always who it favours the most.
That's right.
Can I ask this? Has he got a manager, Craig Bellamy? Because we know.
Are you offering your services?
No, because Seabos managed by Isaac Moses. Anyway, let's talk about that.
He had a manager. He changed managers. I think he's reverted back to his old manager. Okay. I think.
All right. Now we got. Thank you, Rudy. We'll catch up with you shortly. We're going to take one more break before the Knights and the Broncos do battle. Triple M rocking your Thursday night footy for Macca's and for Ream Hot Water.
For McDonald's, Triple M rocks footy.
Triple M rocks the NRL 24/7 through the Triple M app. Thanks to Ream. Steady, hot and strong. Install a Ream.